Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with us. If you've already been listening, we appreciate that. And of course, as you know, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. If you not only tune in, I mean, that's pretty smart. But then if you continue to listen, that's obviously a sign of near genius. In fact, some of you may be geniuses. Let me introduce you to our good friend, reintroduce you, because he's been with us many times before. Don Lambro is our good friend and the chief political reporter for the Washington Times and the author of Fat City, which was one of President Reagan's favorite books. And that makes him, you know, I just like to rub shoulders with anybody who can make one of my favorite presidents, or actually my favorite president, Richard Nixon. What am I saying here, Don? You got me going with Richard Nixon. Ronald Reagan, what did I say first? Did I say Reagan first?
I think you did.
Reagan's who I'm trying to say. And then I've got Bush on my mind. You mentioned Nixon on the break, so you got me all screwed up here. Anyway.
We have too many presidents.
Don Lambro is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I'll get myself out of this in a minute. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. Fat City is the book, folks. Ronald Reagan was the guy who liked it a lot and quoted it. And then Nixon was the guy that, anyway, never mind. Okay. But we do have some presidential stuff to talk about, Don. Mr. Bush gave us on Wednesday the long-awaited, much-anticipated, highly leaked speech. Many presumed to know what he was going to do. Way back in December, they were saying that he was going to say 20,000 new troops. Turns out that's exactly what he said. Did we get anything? Was there any surprises in his speech that you can think of, Don?
Well, I did think in his plan there would be more emphasis on training of the Iraqis. That was one of the, if not the central proposal in the Iraq Study Group, the bipartisan commission to come up with a plan, and that was they proposed 10,000 to 20,000 of our service people who would do nothing but just training. That's the key to solving the problem in Iraq. That is the key to our eventual withdrawal. So I thought there would be some more emphasis on that, but there wasn't. It is on the 21,500 troops.
Didn't he talk about embedding our guys in some of their units?
It does call for embedding them in with Iraqi units. That is true.
See, this reminds me of the advisors, and I don't mean to make a connection in a pejorative way at all, but in the early 60s until probably 68, most of our military were embedded with South Vietnamese units and were actually advisors to them.
That's correct. You remember your history.
And, well, I lived that history. I was part of that. I don't mean that I was in Vietnam in those days. I just meant that I was paying attention in those days.
Yes, and it does sort of recall that. But so I thought there would be much more emphasis on that, or certainly that's part of, I think, of the Iraq Study Group plan that I fully supported. And I thought, my own feeling is we should have basically changed our mission to one of military backup, which we used effectively in the past. Last week, when we went in with Iraqi forces and cleaned up a nest on Haitha Street in Baghdad, and in a very, very fierce firefight, and killed about 50 insurgents. But
right.
So, but other than that, no. You know, obviously, in this speech, two-thirds of the American people are oppose what's going on in Iraq and think it's a mistake. Bush is obviously not playing to the polls. He's obviously not playing to politics. Mm-hmm. I think he believes deep in his gut, deep in his heart, that this is the calling of our time, that we are in a war with Islamic terrorists on a global basis, and we have to stand and fight. And
well, my only question:
very much willing to leave office in 2 years, fighting terrorism, and saying that when he left the country, he left the country safe and without a terrorist attack since 9/11.
Well, here's the thing that I say to him, Mr. President: why didn't we do this 2 years ago? You know,
and he admitted that mistake.
He said
we should have sent more troops. And, of course, Don Rumsfeld opposed that for, I guess, a variety of reasons.
If Mr. Bush has a fault, it's loyalty, isn't it?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
If Mr. Bush has a fault, it's almost blind loyalty.
Well, I think, you know, he is someone who doesn't like to micromanage his generals.
Right.
I think here's a case where he is. I think a lot of the Joint Chiefs of Staff did not support him on this.
Hold on to that thought, Don. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about this. Then we're going to move on to the congressional agenda, especially as it relates to you and me, small business owners. 20 till. Don Lambro is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host.
Hey, hey! I've been long gone.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Don Lambro, the Duke of Earl, and the chief political reporter at the Washington Times, and our good friend. And Don, when we went to the break, you were talking about the president's plan to put 20,500 new troops into Baghdad and also into the Al Anbar province there, and to do a lot of different things. They also are going to beef up the economic elements of what we're doing over there to help people in Iraq to become employed. They're going to do some more political things over there. You know, the thing, Don, that I would say to that is I've been talking, as I think you know, to a half a dozen people over the last 3 years who are in Baghdad, and they're doing the economic development thing over there, and they're doing a lot of it. And so I guess what I'm saying is why, you know, we've already been doing a lot of economic development stuff over there. Thousands, actually millions of dollars, I should say. Thousands of loans have been made to Iraqis to start businesses. And we've already been over there with our military. We've had times that weren't as bad as they are now. Don, correct me if I'm wrong, but all the military might, all the other things that we may want to do over there, none of that's going to help if the Iraqis don't want this. And I don't mean, and you know, never mind the insurgents. I don't care about the insurgents. The insurgents don't matter if the Iraqis, in their hearts and in their minds, want to be a free country, a free people with a populist government, a pluralistic government, I should say. What do you think about that?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And, of course, even Rumsfeld said that in the end this is going to be won or lost by the Iraqis. And you're absolutely right. I think Bush understands that. He's got promises from Prime Minister Maliki of additional brigades that they're putting into the fight. We get more and more reports from our military people there that that Iraqi units are performing better than they did before when they were still a very high dropout rate, and they abandoned their posts and have not fought. But in some of the engagements in more recent months, they've been doing better. Maliki has promised a number of additional units, and that's going to be part of this, where our advisors are going to be embedded with them. They certainly performed in that Baghdad fight I talked about earlier on Haifa Street. So you're right. In the end, it's going to be, they're going to have to fight for this. And so I would like to see us move more toward a mission where we arm them to the teeth, as Reagan did, and with the in Afghanistan and Nicaragua, and we provide them with the kind of help that they need to train. And they have to fight it out. And this is going to take a long time. We're an impatient people, and that's a good part of the American character. But this is going to take a long, long time, and these terrorists are going to fight from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. It's going to be part of the life of this country. The important thing is that the democracy and the government survives Otherwise, it is a total defeat. And I think that government can and will survive, but that's going to be many years down the road. I think Bush will be shown to have done the right thing.
Well, you know, I think that what we have here, Don, is we have the right attitude about and the right perspective about the world in Mr. Bush and his administration. Probably the wrong execution. I think certainly in many cases the wrong execution. But when we have the pacifists, the appeasers in Europe and in our own country, who don't want to look at the realities of what's going on around the world, not only in Iraq and other places, they've got the wrong attitude and no policy. And I think, you know, as much as we can excoriate, we can complain and we can criticize Mr. Bush for his execution, in my opinion, his perspective of how dangerous the world is and what we need to be doing about it, I think he's exactly right about that.
I think he is, and we saw it recently with the Ethiopian government fighting in its neighboring country and attacking the terrorists before they attacked them. It was really right out of Bush's playbook. Mm-hmm. We are in a global war against them. The top intelligence officers were testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday, and the head of the FBI said they were still plotting. They had agents here in this country plotting chemical, nuclear, biological attacks in this country.
In the United States.
And all of that comes from the Middle East. And so he's trying to change the nature of the governments in the Middle East by planning democracy right in the midst of the terrorist breeding ground.
What? Let's change horses and talk about the congressional schedule. The 100 hours, the Pelosi's 100 hours have come and gone, haven't they?
No, they still are. The 100 hours is still ticking.
They keep time different than I do.
Consecutive hours. It's 100 hours. Apportioned over a number of days.
They keep time different than I keep time, Don.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
They keep time differently than I keep time.
Yes, they do. They're on a different standard.
So what is her 100 hours going to be up, like in June or something like that?
Well, no, I think it'll be over probably within the next week or so.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little bit longer. But, you know, they have been taking them one by one. They passed an ethics package. They raised the minimum wage.
The House passed this now.
We're talking about just the House now.
Just the House.
The Senate is a whole other different world.
Right.
Where that may be the black hole that these bills are going to fall into.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back and see where these are going. We know where they are. We're going to see where these initiatives are going in the Senate and in the White House with our good friend Don Lambro. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Don Lambro. We're talking right now about what what Congress is working on and what are they up to, I should say. What have they got in store against us, small business owners? And one of the things that that the House has done, as we mentioned earlier, is that they passed the minimum wage increase, which, Don, in my 2007 predictions, I predicted that would be passed by the House and the Senate, and the President would sign it. Is the Senate going to try to load some small business provisions into that bill?
Well, I don't think it'll go through the Senate without their including a significant tax cut for small businesses. I don't believe Bush will sign it without a significant tax cut for small businesses to offset the tremendous cost this is going to impose on small businesses who go from week to week and it would hurt their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It would cause them probably to lay off people
and not hire future people.
But particularly startup firms,
yep,
who have still to get their feet in the ground, they cannot be whacked with higher salaries. They're still trying to establish themselves.
That's
you
right.
might say a small business that has been around for a long time is successful and has some maneuvering room here, but this would really hurt the startup small businesses. And small businesses, as you know more than anyone else, they're the ones that are creating most of the new jobs in
That's
this
right.
country for the
That's
last
right.
decade or two.
So what? Hopefully, what I'd like to see, if the bill has to go forward, I'd like to see, rather than a tax cut, although I'm always happy to have tax cuts, and I'll take one of those too, but what I'd like to see is the Mike Inslee, the Senator Mike Inslee of Wyoming's small business health plans attached to it. That's what I'd like to see. That would be a reasonable trade-off if that's what it took.
Yeah, I think the health care, that's going to operate on a whole different track.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to be part of this debate. But, you know, someone in the Senate will offer an amendment. But the Senate is a huge hurdle. You still need 60 votes to overcome a filibuster.
Right.
Bush, the last time I looked, still had his veto. And there'll be the amendment process in which all you need to get is 51 votes. So some people call it the black hole where legislation goes in and doesn't come out.
Right.
And I think that's going to be the place where a lot of what the House is trying to do and attempting to do is going to be stopped, blocked, or changed in some dramatic way.
Is the Congress going to be able, the Democrat-controlled Congress, going to be able to block Mr. Bush's troop acceleration in Iraq like they've talked about?
I think they're certainly not going to be able to block a non-binding resolution, which I think is the next step to show their disapproval of the escalation. But I think it can block or slow down any attempt to restrict funding. Then you really do come up against the 60 vote and the filibuster. Bush certainly is not going to sign any bill that's going to restrict funding for national security of our country.
Aren't the Democrats walking a dangerous tight line there if they try to restrict his ability to execute this war?
I think if they try to restrict funding, then I think the Democrats are on very unfirm ground, yeah, because it's very hard to do that without being charged correctly, I think, that you're cutting off the funds that are protecting our troops who are over there living and dying to defend us. And that's an untenable political situation and a terrible situation for the national security of our country. So
right.
I think that would be where there would obviously be a tremendous opposition to that, and it'd be very difficult, if not impossible, to actually cut funding when you have troops over there fighting for us.
What about Mr. Bush and the Iranian situation? You know, he fired a shot across their bow, didn't he, with some of his comments?
Well, I think that is sort of they're still, I think, supporting a lot of the terrorist activity in Iraq. There's no doubt about that, and I think we're going to keep applying the heat to that. They cannot be happy, obviously, with Bush's decision to ramp up our forces in Baghdad. And right now, the number one job is to somehow stabilize the capital city and show the world and that region of the country that this government is not going to topple and the terrorists are not going to win which of their main goal, which is to knock off this fledgling
right.
Democratic government
right.
in Iraq.
Don Lambro, thank you for being here. WashingtonTimes.com, right? It's the website?
Yep, that's it.
And you can find Don's columns syndicated around the country. Don Lambro, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back.
Thanks, Jim.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.